the color of hope and sin. A Good Omens podfic written by Tawny Owl 95 and read by Jarp. Summary. Crowley has never felt so pretty. Tonight he can do anything. Having Aziraphil Eastgate, the best defender that St. Beryl's school football team had ever seen, cross Crowley's path again, is a chance to test that theory. And maybe they can both work out some latent teenage angst at the same time. Crowley flew. His heels tip-tapped smoothly up the stairs, his feathered coat swishing behind him like wings. Higher and higher he soared, and Anathema held his arm, laughing as the guards scanned their tickets. A few more steps, and then they were spinning beneath the chandeliers. The soft, rosy lights turned Crowley's white satin dress pink, just a hint of blushing sin. Anathema kissed his cheek. "You look perfect." And Crowley felt perfect. More perfect and stronger by the minute. No one was staring, or if they were, so far it had been with nothing but appreciation. It did help that there wasn't a straight person in the garden, but Crowley wasn't going to let that undermine his sense of absolute personal badassery. He'd worn makeup before, been growing his hair for a while. He'd been wriggling into women's skinny jeans since he was 17. Tonight, though, was the night he'd finally taken the vintage strap dress out of the back of his wardrobe. It brushed his legs like water, clung to his hips and waist in a way that made him feel delicate. Which was very different from weak. "I want to find Newt's photographs." Anathema squeezed Crowley's hands. Poor Newt would be nervous as hell. Some of the photographs that had been shortlisted were of Crowley and Anathema, lipsticked and eyelinered and with attitude against the world. Some Newt had taken of himself, though, not his face, but his scars. The ones he'd saved up for so he could shed his past and become himself. "You go find him." Crowley kissed Anathema's cheeks. "I'll get us drinks." Newt would need a drink. He was a very private person, and as much as he nurtured a burning hunger to share their stories, to keep people talking about them, events like this made him quiver with nausea. "Cosmos," Anathema said as her fingers drifted away from his. "Get us Cosmos." Crowley bumped her fist. She didn't ask if he'd be all right. Anathema knew there wasn't anything in this room that Crowley couldn't handle now he'd let his wings out. She grinned at him and tripped away in her three-piece suit and killer heels to find Newt and hold his hand while he bared his soul for strangers. Crowley shook out the feathers on his coat before gathering it back around his near-bare shoulders and gliding to the bar. It wasn't too busy yet, and Crowley rested his elbows on the sleek metallic surface, rose-red and cool against his skin. He tapped his coral nails and waited to catch someone's eye. Always so fucking nerve-wracking this, as though not being served right away was a signifier of worth. Like being left on the benches at a school dance. Not that Crowley had ever been to the school dances at St. Beryl's. A man leaned on the bar next to him. He was fumbling for something in the pocket of his black tailcoat. Crowley slid a bit further along the bar to give him room. His gaze caught on the man's unusual platinum curls, the upwards tilt of the edge of his nose. Crowley's heart flipped. It was because Crowley had been thinking about St. Beryl's, that was all. None of the angels would be in this pinklet room for the judging of an award for LGBTQIA+ photographers. Crowley's attention was fixed on that slither of profile, though, pulse beating loudly as he desperately hoped and feared that one of the St. Beryl's angels might be here. That one particular angel might be. He was so busy gawping that the bartender walked straight past him and asked the man what he wanted instead. Bloody typical. Crowley was about to snap in indignation when the man said, "I believe the lady was waiting first." And he looked at Crowley with a smile that started off polite and indifferent, then fixed on his face, while his eyes, a darker shade of hazel in the light, froze with shock, then recognition. Crowley braced himself to hear the name he'd left at home, the one his older brother, Luke, and his teammates used to bay down St. Beryl's hallowed hallways. "Tony, come here, you queer little shit." "Aziraphale," Crowley said from the bottom of a well of nightmares.
"Oh."
Aziraphale's smile flicked back on, nervous and eager all at once.
"You remember?"
"Course I do. Impossible to forget such a stupid bloody name." Crowley turned his gaze away and ordered 3 cosmopolitans. When he glanced back, Aziraphale was still looking at him. His now rather flustered gaze snapping from Crowley's legs back up to his face.
"Forgive me," Aziraphale said quietly. "Good with faces, terrible with names. Remind me what you like to be called?"
Crowley blinked at him. Well, that was interesting.
"Why are you in the boys' bathroom, Tony?"
It had been the first time he'd experimented with eyeliner, styled his hair a bit more, dared to wear one of the girls' longer bow ties. Everyone had already known he was different. This was the first time he'd really gone out of his way to flaunt it. Crowley couldn't even remember why he'd felt the need. Perhaps the burning ache to express something of himself had finally got too much. Most of the day it had been no more than snide comments, but it had eventually earned him a slamming against a bathroom wall, hence screwing up the lapels of his jacket. It got Gabriel right in the nuts as he'd kicked out, nearly bitten Michael's thumb off. Fighting would always make it worse, but Crowley had been seized by that fatal mix of terror and anger that still made him stupid. Michael, blood welling from the soft webbing between his thumb and index finger, had shaken Crowley so hard his teeth rattled.
"There you are."
It had been Aziraphale, already in his football kit, bringing news that coach was looking for them.
"We'll be right along," Gabriel had said.
And Aziraphale had paused, hand on the bathroom door, keeping it open wide for the pastel pink and orange evening light to slip in. It crept across the linoleum floor like an unholy stain. His gaze dragged over the scene by the sinks. Crowley remembered how hard his heart had been beating, how he would have begged if he could. How Aziraphale's eyes had been so full of fear as they fixed on Crowley,
then his teammates. They had flicked back to Crowley. Crowley had prepared himself to be abandoned. Not like he and Aziraphale had ever spoken before. Not like they were friends.
Coach is angry, Gabriel.
Aziraphale's shoulders had shifted slightly, making him look less like he wanted to escape.
Already has the others running laps.
Aziraphale had shrugged.
Big game on Saturday.
This isn't over.
Michael spat in Crowley's face, but they had left. Left Crowley alone, rubbing at his tear-streaked cheeks, with Aziraphale, one of the best fullbacks that the Angels had ever had, still staring.
Are you all right?
What do you fucking think?
Crowley still found it hard to trust an offer of kindness, but his defenses had been quicker to snap up back then. His shell was harder because his core had been softer. And Michael's blood had stained his shirt with spots of pale red. Aziraphale had let the door shut as he came forward, and Crowley hated how he'd flinched back against the off-white tiled wall. Aziraphale had held out a handkerchief, pale cream and soft-locking.
I'm going to ruin that, Crowley had thought. Leaves me as of hate and regret all over it.
Aziraphale hadn't backed down. Crowley still had the handkerchief somewhere. Aziraphale's smile was starting to look painful. Crowley still didn't feel pressure to rush, though. Even before that day, he'd spent far too much time sitting on the bleachers watching the Angels train. Not because he was a football fan, but because he was an Aziraphale fan. What started off as aesthetic appreciation for thick thighs and broad shoulders had soon turned into something deeper. Aziraphale was always where the team needed him to be. He never scored or got any of the dramatic plays, but he knew the game and was tirelessly working to set the ball up for the strikers. He made Crowley like sport for fuck's sake. Not that he'd ever be able to compete with the in-crowd girls who sat further down, clapping and whooping their approval. Crowley could still watch, though. And now, here Aziraphale was, slightly thicker at the thighs and broader across the shoulders than he had been, but still good enough to eat and close enough to touch. Still smiling with hopeful brightness. That didn't mean Crowley was going to relax his guard for a moment. Aziraphale may not have really fitted in with the Angels at school, but he was still very much one of them. One kind gesture didn't overcome the wariness Crowley still felt at being confronted by one of his bullies by association. There were, after all, many times that Aziraphale had scurried away or pretended not to see. When they'd both been younger, admittedly. Plus, it wasn't like Crowley had always faced down his brother on someone else's behalf. With a sigh, Crowley took pity. Crowley.
Crowley, and your pronouns?
Crowley did his level best not to let his shock show. It was always nice to be asked, though. He or they. Or even her, actually. I'm equal opportunities. You?
He, I think.
You think? 90% sure on a good day. Aziraphale shrugged his shoulders.
Always starts with asking a question. For example,
Crowley lounged against the bar like this wasn't a big deal. Like his heart wasn't about to burst through his ribs.
Aziraphale, what are you doing here?
Oh, he wilted a bit. Just asking questions, really. His eyes started to the bar where his hand had come to rest. It had started fiddling with one of the flamingo-colored napkins.
I follow some of the photographers on Instagram. I admire their work, though it might be fun to talk to some people.
Yeah, here by yourself?
My friend Tracy is around somewhere, probably flirting with some unsuspecting person.
Aziraphale peeked up at Crowley quickly.
Are you trying to flirt with me, Angel?
Crowley smiled. His best come hither one, just as an experiment.
A faint rose blush spread over Aziraphale's cheeks.
Temptation accomplished.
Well, I need to get my friends their drinks. Come and find Newton Pulsifer's display if you want to catch up more.
Crowley made sure to pause and look back over his shoulder as he walked away.
Judging by the way Aziraphale was trying to covertly check Crowley out, he could be on to a winner.
You all right? Anathema slipped an arm around Crowley's waist as she scooped her drink from the tray.
Newt already had his and was talking to the judges with only a hint of hunted rabbit look about him.
I'm all right. Crowley leaned into Anathema's embrace. Just seen someone from school.
It was all right. Despite the less than welcome memories Aziraphale provoked, he was cute. Always had been. Or as cute as a footballer with thighs that could snap Crowley in half was capable of being.
Oh. Anathema knew about Crowley's time at school. With some variations, it was pretty similar to hers.
Good someone or bad someone?
Undecided, Crowley said.
Good, he hoped. The past was still making things cloudy, though.
Aziraphale had been joined at the bar by an older woman who rested a hand proprietarily on his shoulder. Crowley knew the exotic bird type, though. The inclusive social butterfly who would welcome everyone into her fold. Give Anathema a few more decades and she'd be the same.
Crowley, was he the guy at the bar?
Because of course Anathema had been watching. Keeping an eye on each other was what they did. What they'd been doing without discussion for the 5 years since they'd met in the residential halls of the Royal College of Art.
Yep,
Crowley sipped his drink.
Nice.
Thought you were a lesbian.
So did I. Anathema's eyes softened as she looked at Newt over the top of her cocktail glass.
Labels can come off, though. And he looked pretty into you. That's just how he is.
The way Aziraphale was laughing now, he looked like he was pretty into the exotic bird lady, too.
He'd never laughed at St. Beryl's.
Aziraphale had always worn a slight worry frown between his brows. His smiles were quick, flighty things, like a flushed bird quickly gone before it could get shot. the closest to genuine delight Crowley had ever seen on Aziraphale's face was when he kicked the ball about. Just as well, if he'd looked that delighted, that light at school, Crowley's heart would have been well and truly doomed. "Looks like you're pretty into him, too," Anathema whispered into his hair, her breath sweet and sharp like cranberries. "No," Crowley's belly squirmed, "just memories." Their house had been full of noise, blaring music that made the rooms shake, and they stank of aftershave and fake sugar-sweet perfume mixed with the stale beer that had been split in the living room. Crowley had snuck out to see the latest Marvel film at the cinema, but the celebrations over winning the league were still going strong. Nobody had noticed Crowley as he pinched a bottle of Pink Fizz from the kitchen and a packet of Facts from Gabriel's back pocket while he'd made out with one of the crowd girls in the hallway. At least Crowley had thought no one had noticed him. It just lit up, hidden beneath the rhododendron bush at the bottom of the garden, when someone called his name. Crowley tensed, but there was nothing hostile in it. The voice sounded petrified. Crowley crawled over the scratchy blanket he'd spread out on the dirt and poked his head out through the leaves. "What do you want?" Aziraphale looked back to the lit-up chaos of the house.
"Not really my scene."
Crowley could believe that. He'd seen Aziraphale on the sofa, fingers digging into the floral upholstery of the arm, while one of the lesser in-crowd girls squirmed on his lap. She'd been all legs and tits, bleached blonde hair flicking as her bubblegum lips pulled back over sharp white teeth. Her nails had been pink and sharp as rare diamonds. Crowley had paused in the shadows, trying not to think of them dragging over Xerophil's pecs and feeling insanely jealous. Crowley had taken some comfort in the fact that Xerophil had looked ready to puke his cheap beer all over her. Crowley took a drag on her stone cigarette. "If they find you down here with me..."
"I take my exams next year."
Aziraphale shrugged, as though the popularity he had, the safety that brought him, was not pure gold, as far as Crowley was concerned. "Lucky you." Crowley wriggled back into his hiding place, but he didn't tell Aziraphale to fuck off. He didn't truly think Aziraphale would follow him, either. Then what light there was got blocked out as Aziraphale crawled into the space beneath the rhododendron.
"This is cozy."
Some flower petals had been caught in his hair, the ceris bleached to charcoal in the dark, but still smelling of sweet earth. "Yeah, so's having Cheryl bouncing on your lap like a cocker spaniel."
It was a bitchy comment, but anything to discourage Crowley from leaning forward and brushing the flower away. Yes, she's a nice girl, but..."
Aziraphale shifted uncomfortably. "Not your type." Of course she wasn't. Crowley had known it. Aziraphale had probably known it then, too. It was why he had always looked so fucking tense. "Give me the fucking wine, please." Aziraphale necked a few good slugs.
"She's so handsy and wet." Then find someone less wet. Crowley sucked on his cigarette, letting the smoke act as a barrier between them. Don't lean through it. Don't touch.
Thing is, I think she thinks we're dating.
And why would she think that? Crowley was both horrified and fascinated by his glimpse of how the popular kids lived.
It was my birthday last month, and well,
Xerophil laughed nervously. He brought the bottle back to his lips, throat working as he swallowed. Happy birthday to you, Crowley sing-songed, knowing with terror where this was going. You weren't her first, were you? Xerophil shook his head. He looked positively wretched. Crowley wanted to laugh. It was so horrific. She was your first.
I didn't expect it to go that far, or anywhere. But she was so committed, and I didn't know how to say no.
The words rushed out, a fraught confession in the dark. Would have been terribly impolite of you. Although, if Crowley had been given the chance to break Xerophil in, he would have been pretty fucking committed, too. Xerophil may not have been the star of the football team, but being on his arm would still have increased the streak credit for an ambitious social climber. Not that the strategy would have worked for Crowley, but still.
Ugh.
Xerophil hung his head. It caused the petals to finally dislodge and float down to his knee. Thankfully, he flicked them away before Crowley had the chance to even think brushing them off would be a good idea. Did you at least enjoy it? Crowley asked, not entirely sure he wanted an answer.
Maybe. Perhaps more if he'd both been sober.
And if she had been less wet and female.
Fucking idiot.
And Crowley had not been sure if he meant Xerophil, or Cheryl, or Gabriel, or himself for caring about any of it. Why are you even telling me this? Crowley had known the answer. He'd seen it every day of school in Xerophil's sad little frown. Xerophil Eastgate, the best defender the Angels had ever seen, had no one else to tell. Crowley would not feel sorry for him. He would not take pity on him, because next year Xerophil would take his exams, probably have a football scholarship somewhere, and be free. Crowley would still have one more year of hell to slog through. And if he reached out now, he'd feel more alone than ever when Xerophil was gone. Newt collapsed into the chair Anathema and Crowley had been saving for him. They had a fresh Cosmo waiting, too. He sipped gratefully.
That's it. Judges are conferring. Nothing for me to do now but recover.
War. Anathema touched his wrists. You need to be coherent for your victory speech. Newt laughed softly, already burning nearly red with alcohol and success.
I don't want to think about winning. I've got this fight. Crowley, I saw the picture of you on the toilet.
Crowley spluttered into his own drink.
You what?
He hated that picture. Annoyingly, Newt was ridiculously proud of it.
The composition was deliberately messy. Pools of water and crushed toilet paper on the floor. one of Crowley's pearly satin ballet pumps abandoned on the tiles and his naked foot arched off the floor. His other balanced on the closed and awful salmon-coloured toilet seat, his knee hugged to his chest. He didn't look at the camera, but off into the harsh brightness of the overhead lighting, mascara smudged around his eyes. He'd spend a lot of time like that in the toilets at St. Barrett's before he'd come to London, and he, Newt and Anathema, had found each other through the divine providence of room allocations. They all had. All of them had spent time in that pit of isolation, hacking up streams of messy tears as they tried to cleanse themselves of the isolating truth. No one else was like them. Loneliness, Newt had called the picture. And although Crowley hated the way his not-quite-grown-out hair fluffed around his ears, Newt had insisted the liminality of it was perfect. Newt had let Crowley be hyper-feminine in his dress, too. Tight, wet-look pants and wrapped in a silk scarf, darker than the porcelain that trailed on the bathroom floor. "At least I never have to look at it again," Crowley said. "I hope it was very expensive." "Took him to the cleaners," Newt said proudly. Anathema sprawled over the table and kissed him full on the mouth. "Oh, come on," Crowley grumbled, but he was already forgotten. "Dance with me?" Newt asked. Anathema bit her lip. Her eyes flicked to Crowley. "Fuck off," he said, "before I puke." "Thank you," Anathema mouthed and dragged Newt away before he could change his mind. Crowley sipped his drink and settled back against the padded seat of the booth. He pulled his knee to his chest and tucked his now, thankfully, long hair behind his ear. Loneliness, indeed. But not as bad as it had been. Newt would be over again soon, pulling Crowley to his feet, urging him to join them. For now, though, they needed to, well, sort out whatever they needed to. Crowley sighed and got comfy, taking pleasure in the love that was blooming slow as a rose between his best friends, even as it made him ache. "Crowley?" Aziraphale hovered by the table, hands knotted over his gold waistcoat. "Hello again." Crowley couldn't quite smile. His heart was thrashing too hard against his ribs.
"May I?"
Aziraphale gestured at the seat. "Sure." Crowley slid along a bit. Aziraphale folded his hands on the table as he sat down primly, holding himself on high alert. "You found some fun people to talk to?" Crowley asked as he twisted the stem of his glass.
"I think so."
Aziraphale smiled tightly at his knotted fingers.
"Crowley, when I said I followed some of the photographers on Instagram, one of them is Newton Pulsifer, so I hoped you'd be here."
He closed his eyes, as though he expected Crowley to, what, waste a perfectly good cocktail by dumping it over his head? "We both got lucky then, huh? Cocktails were for drinking." Crowley sipped his, watching Aziraphale from beneath his lashes.
"You don't have to do that,"
Aziraphale said. "What?"
"Be so nice."
"I'm not nice." He really wasn't. Oh, he could be loyal, and when Crowley laughed, it was fierce and endless, but he was vicious too. Thin, fine edges that could slice the instant you touched.
You are,
Aziraphale insisted, with no regard for his own safety.
Especially considering we weren't even friends at school.
A long time ago, wasn't it? What do you want, Aziraphale? Because if you're about to apologize or any of that shit, I'm walking away. It's done, okay?
So very done.
Crowley didn't want to go back, not even in his head.
I bought a picture of you.
Oh shit. The toilet picture. Crowley was going to kill Newt. That's not weird at all. His voice croaked just a bit. Aziraphale glanced up guiltily. Crowley wouldn't reach out his hand. He had promised himself he wouldn't, a desperate belief his younger self had made to stop Crowley burning up in Aziraphale's heat. Aziraphale looked mortified.
It sounds awful, doesn't it? But the truth is, I fell in love with it before I even realized who the model was.
Had time like that in a public toilet, too?
Of course he had.
Probably right after Cheryl. And despite never wanting to go back, Crowley caught himself wondering what might have happened if he'd crawled over to Aziraphale that night beneath the rhododendron bush and sucked his cock. Or if he'd been bolder and kissed him on the lips, sweet as strawberries and cream.
I always thought you were so brave,
Aziraphale said. Brave? Crowley had been looking after himself.
You knew who you were. You didn't compromise.
Crowley needed another drink. He needed Aziraphale to get to the point of this enforced route march down memory lane before Crowley shattered like glass. And who are you now, Az? Aziraphale winced, the nickname the other angels had given him, hitting something tender that Crowley couldn't quite see.
I'm still not sure, but I'm definitely not straight.
Aziraphale glanced up at Crowley sideways. No fucking kidding, Crowley did not say, as much as he was tempted to. It was brave of Aziraphale to admit that much.
And whoever I am, he really likes you. Always did.
The first crack ran deep through Crowley's heart. It broke open his lungs, so his next inhalation shuddered awfully. You've been pining over me for 5 years?
6.
Aziraphale's fingers rubbed distractedly at the table's mirrored surface. Then the judges came back out. 6, Crowley said in a daze. Anathema waved at him, and Newt looked ready to faint. I need to... Crowley was already on his feet, torn between past, present, and future.
Of course.
Aziraphale fiddled with a napkin on the table. I'll find you later. Aziraphale nodded. With his heart ready to take flight, Crowley went to go and hold Newt's free hand through the awards. Crowley flew, an arm around Newt's waist, another on Anathema's shoulder. They were buzzing with alcohol and success. They spun in circles beneath the powder-pink lights, barely keeping time with the music. I knew you could do it. Crowley smooched Newt's ear.
I only got third in one category.
Still placed, Anathema said.
So proud of you for putting your story out there. You helped me set the self-portrait up.
Nope, said Anathema, looping her arms around his neck.
It was all you, baby.
Crowley took that moment to untangle himself. Drinks, he said. More drinks. The grateful smile he got were enough to ease the pain of needing to step back. They would always be three, he told himself. Three witches in a coven against the world. Crowley took his time walking to the bar. It had taken Newt and Anathema 5 years to get this far, after all. Aziraphale waited for him, bathed in the pink light, which turned his hair to candy floss. He looked almost dreamlike.
We've got to stop meeting like this,
Aziraphale said as Crowley stood next to him. Crowley nudged his arm. Then stop stalking me.
I was here first. Cosmopolitan, yes?
Three, actually. Crowley swept his hair over his shoulder. It's my round. Aziraphale ordered three cosmos without blinking.
I want to be in your friend's good books, he said sheepishly.
They aren't so easily bought. Neither am I. Crowley squared his shoulders, let the feathers of his coat slip down his arm, just a bit. Aziraphale's eyes tracked the movement.
I never thought you were for sale, he murmured. I've no expectations, Crowley. It has been nice to see you again. There was that word again. Nice.
It had been many things seeing Aziraphale again. Nice hardly did any of what Crowley felt justice. I'm going to deliver these two, he held up the glasses, and come back for the third. Keep it safe for me. Aziraphale nodded, so much hope and relief in his eyes that Crowley felt his heart finally start to melt.
I said he was into you, Anathema said as Crowley handed over her glass.
I'm into him. Still, embarrassingly so.
Take him back to ours, okay? Be safe. Anna, Newt hissed.
What? Crowley's gorgeous. Of course he was going to pull tonight. She pinched Crowley's cheek.
Stay safe, Newt said earnestly. You need anything?
Fuck no, Crowley protested. And I don't even know if it'll be like that. He's nervous as hell. But calming Aziraphale down would be worth it. Part of the reason he was so nervous was because Crowley was gorgeous, and Aziraphale wanted him, and could now admit it. Because he knows you're out of his league, Anathema confirmed.
And wasn't that just something? Crowley being considered out of Aziraphale Eastgate's league.
Be gentle with him, Anathema yelled out as Crowley walked away. Her laugh ended in an oof as Newt tried to silence her. Crowley loved them both keenly. Aziraphale watched him walk back to the bar, and Crowley made sure there was something worth seeing. He was gorgeous, light as air in his feathers, and slinky dress that just blushed the color of sin. His hair was a rich, red temptation. So, Aziraphale. Crowley stopped in front of him, not quite close enough to kiss. I know you have no expectations, but fair warning that I do, So if you did want to come back to my place, that is on the table. Aziraphale's breath caught.
Well, I'm not very good at, you know.
Crowley broke his rule. He reached out, laying a palm on the rose gold of Aziraphale's waistcoat, stretching his nails slightly over the embroidery. Well, I'm bloody amazing, and I've always wanted to fuck a footballer. Aziraphale nearly choked.
Sorry to disappoint, but I run a bookshop.
A bookshop? That was so unexpected, Crowley laughed. It came out nasal and thoroughly unattractive. It made Aziraphale smile, though. A gentle thing, like a flame being coaxed into life.
I did more than kick a ball around, you know, and I coach at the weekends. Queer kids, actually.
His eyes glowed.
We had a friendly this morning.
Are you about to start showing me pictures on your phone? Crowley bit his lip.
No. He was adorable.
Crowley leaned in and brushed their lips lightly together. Aziraphale made a gasped noise of surprise. His hand fluttered to Crowley's shoulder.
Can't believe we could have been doing this since we were 16.
Aziraphale said into the whisper-thin space between them. Crowley tilted his head, looking him in the eye. What makes you think I'd have let you? I promised myself I'd never reach for you, but if you'd reached for me, oh, my angel, I'd have taken us both to heaven.
You'll let me know.
Aziraphale's fingers trailed up to Crowley's hair, touching it as though it might dissolve at any moment. All night, or as long as you think you can go for.
I'll see what I can do.
So, this is the hallway. Kitchen and living room up those stairs. Bathroom to the left. Very important. And this, Crowley leaned back against the bedroom door. This is me.
Yes, Aziraphale looked ravenous. It is.
Probably blushing like a virgin, his face was so hot, Crowley backed through the door, bending down to pull off his shoes and tuck them under the bed. He turned on the lamp, draped in a red scarf to keep the light soft and intimate. Do you need the bathroom, or another drink, tea or booze or... As Crowley turned, Aziraphale swooped in, cupping his face to kiss him hard. Crowley wrapped his arms around Aziraphale's neck as he was lifted onto his toes. Strong hands spread across Crowley's back, keeping him flush against Aziraphale's chest. It was a good kiss. Committed, Crowley thought with a smile. If he'd been in a rom-com, his foot would have popped. Seeing as Crowley wanted something more X-rated, he nibbled Aziraphale's bottom lip, encouraging tongues to become involved. I thought you weren't any good, Crowley said, stomach fizzing pleasantly.
I think I'm learning.
Aziraphale still looked awestruck. No bad thing. And I'll offer nothing but encouragement. Crowley stepped back and reached beneath his skirt to strip his thighs off. Not the smoothest of moves, but removing them now would speed things up later. that. Aziraphale watched each movement as though he wanted to sear them onto his brain.
Tell me what feels good.
He shrugged off his tailcoat and looked around for somewhere to put it. Crowley took it from him and dropped it on the floor.
You're a cock inside me, if that's your thing.
Aziraphale whined something that sounded embarrassingly like, "Oh, good lord," as Crowley started work on his tie.
Don't have to,
please.
Aziraphale's mouth was hot on Crowley's, his hands slipping beneath the feathered coat to press the cool satin dress to his skin. Crowley shrugged his shoulders, letting the coat slither down his arms. Aziraphale made another of those needy noises, his hands spanning the bare skin of Crowley's back. They stumbled over the coat on the way to the bed, Crowley pulling up his skirts so he could climb backwards onto the mattress. Aziraphale followed him, tugging at his waistcoat buttons. Halfway through, he got distracted, and the world flipped as Crowley was tumbled back into the pillows. He giggled, fingers stroking Aziraphale's face.
"Is this all right?"
Aziraphale asked. "Very much." Crowley hooked a leg around Aziraphale's thigh, urging him closer.
"Oh!"
Aziraphale's eyes fluttered closed, and he rolled his hips forward, grinding slowly against Crowley's cock. Crowley lifted his ass off the mattress, returning the pressure.
"Feels like I'm the one that's got tonight."
"Sorry."
"Your dick ass feels big."
"Perfect." Crowley's body shivered at the thought of being filled with it, of finally seeing what Aziraphale might look like when he stopped being so perfectly held together.
"Does it?"
Aziraphale kissed Crowley's neck, failing to hide his blush.
"Don't worry, I won't judge. Let me see."
Aziraphale looked mortified, but he sat back on his heels and obligingly undid his trousers.
"Here, you're going to need some help with that."
Crowley worked the material away, easing down Aziraphale's underwear so that he could get his hands on what was, indeed, a very good-sized cock. Not quite as long as first anticipated, but thick and already red and the tip shiny with pre-cum. It twitched eagerly as Crowley began to stroke it.
"Oh, Lord!"
Aziraphale breathed, fucking into Crowley's hand.
"All right there, big guy."
"It's not that... Oh, Lord!"
"May he, she, or they have mercy."
Crowley swept his thumb over the slit, and Aziraphale gasped.
"I want you inside me."
Crowley twisted around to snag a condom from the box on his nightstand.
"Yes."
Aziraphale took the condom, rolling it on with shaking fingers while Crowley grabbed a packet of lube.
"Here."
He slicked up Aziraphale's cock, pumping it until his head tipped back. An actual groan escaped him.
"In me."
Crowley lay back on the pillows, moving one beneath his hips. Aziraphale rested a hand next to Crowley's head, kissing him hungrily. His other hand pushed beneath the satin, following Crowley's thigh up to his hip.
"Don't you need anything?"
Aziraphale asked with concern.
He was such a gentleman.
Crowley fully intended to fuck that out of him.
"Me? Nah.
just got to relax, and, as you can feel, decided against underwear this evening, so...
Lord!
Aziraphale shifted, lining himself up. His cockhead dragged along Crowley's perineum. A bit of shifting, another nudge, and Aziraphale began to breach him. Just with a tip, but enough to make Crowley's stomach flip with a stretch.
That feels good.
Crowley lifted his leg up Aziraphale's back, clinging to his still half-open shirt. Next time he'd get Aziraphale naked. Right now, Crowley was too shivery and eager, and Aziraphale looked hot, all in disarray, slowly coming apart as he sank into Crowley's body.
Oh, you feel huge.
Crowley's head fell back against the pillows.
I'm so...
I didn't say stop. I like it.
Aziraphale looked at him in disbelief, and Crowley hooked his leg tighter around him.
I like it. Don't stop.
Aziraphale's forehead butted gently against Crowley's as he pushed in deeper, taking his sweet time about it, but that just added to the wonder of it. The thrill of feeling every bit of give in his own body. Crowley slipped a hand between them, burrowing under the satin of his dress to stroke his cock. It made his body squeeze Aziraphale tighter, which in turn made Aziraphale gasp.
Come on now,
Crowley scratched the back of his head.
Don't be a tease.
Do you ever stop talking?
Crowley grinned.
When I'm being fucked, really, really.
Aziraphale flicked his hips forward.
Oh, you bastard. Yes, just like that.
You said you'd stop.
Aziraphale bit his lip, drawing back and then pushing in deeper still. Crowley clenched his muscles, making Aziraphale momentarily slack-lipped and speechless too. Crowley pushed himself up to suck on his bottom lip, wrapping his other leg around Aziraphale's back.
I'll stop when you make me, he promised.
Aziraphale held him tight, an arm wrapped solidly around Crowley's back, fingers digging into his shoulder to keep him still. The next forward stroke pushed the air from Crowley's lungs. The one after made the headboard rattle against the wall.
Like that,
Aziraphale gasped in Crowley's ear.
Can't talk now.
Crowley let his head hang back, arching up to meet the next thrust.
Busy.
That made Aziraphale snort a bit, his laugh turning to a growl.
I love your mouth.
He kissed Crowley as the headboard bounced off the wall again.
So fucking clever. Shameless.
Now, who won't shut up?
You don't like me telling you how lovely you are?
And Aziraphale looked straight into Crowley's eyes as he said it. The sincerity there, the warmth of affection made Crowley soft and hot. He looked away.
Thought so, Aziraphale said. This must get.
And then refused to stop. Both the talking and the fucking.
Because you... lovely.
It was that, more than the pounding, that made Crowley unravel so quickly. He clung to Aziraphale, riding the tingling edges of pleasure until he was ready to scream. he barely needed to touch his own cock to push himself over. A few sharp tugs, and he cried out. Aziraphale didn't slow down. He continued to breathe wonderful, increasingly filthy things into Crowley's ear until it was unbearable. Until Crowley was limp and breathless from moaning. Aziraphale eased out of him slowly, still rock hard. Crowley only realized it when he heard the condom come off. Shit, sorry. Crowley tried to sit up and was pushed gently back down.
Stay, just like that.
Legs slowly open, dress barely covering the mess he'd made of his own belly. Yes.
You're lovely, I mean it.
Aziraphale leaned over him, kissed him so slowly it hurt.
Just look at you.
He glanced down between their bodies and began to pull on his own cock. Rapid tugs as he glanced up at Crowley's face, then down between them at his quivering, cum-stained belly and still-spread thighs. It was Crowley's eyes Aziraphale looked at when he came, lips pressed hard together as he shook. His cum marked Crowley's stomach and the tops of his thighs. They hung for a moment in the silence, breath ragged and damp. Aziraphale moved first, climbing gingerly off the bed. He looked at Crowley desperately. Cupboard behind you. The towels were on the middle shelf, easy to see. Aziraphale handed Crowley one first and then cleaned himself up. He fixed his trousers in silence, then started work on his shirt buttons. Crowley wiggled out of his dress and stood naked, watching Aziraphale gather his belongings.
He was going to leave.
Just walk out and what? Wait another 5, no 6 years before tormenting Crowley like that again? Not likely. So, what's the address of this bookshop you run? Aziraphale stopped fussing with his waistcoat. His eyebrows lifted at the sight of Crowley's still-naked body in the hazy red light from the lamp.
You like reading?
Aziraphale asked. No. Crowley folded his arms.
Then why?
I like you. Crowley stepped forward and patted Aziraphale's hands away so he could slowly start undoing the waistcoat buttons again. So, you can either tell me the address of your bookshop and save me having to look you up on Yelp, or you can come back to bed.
I did say I'd see if I could go all night, didn't I?
Aziraphale studied Crowley's face, the frown back between his brows. Crowley smoothed it away with his thumb. No expectations, Angel. I just don't want to be lonely right now.
Neither do I.
Then stay. Aziraphale did. A soft tapping on his door tugged Crowley back to wakefulness. The lamp was still casting everything in a deep rosy glow, and a heavy body was plastered to his back. The tentative knocking came again, followed by Anathema's loud whisper of,
"Putting the coffee machine on."
Crowley fumbled for his phone. 7:45. How was she up so early? There was a lancing pain in Crowley's temples, but his cosmo-wrecked body did crave a strong black coffee. As he shifted, Aziraphale's arm flopped from his waist to the mattress. With a grumble, he pulled the pillow tightly to his chest. He looked like nothing so much as a hibernating bear, all furred and cozy, hair curling madly against a silk pillowcase. Crowley grinned. There'd been something very bear-like about the way he'd reached for Crowley early that morning, pressing him possessively into the mattress. Crowley shivered at the memory of the way he'd bitten the pillow to stop crying out, how Aziraphale's chest had been flushed to his back, the way his fingers had left bruises on Crowley's hips. He'd been relaxed and open, more than willing to be taken again. And Aziraphale had taken him, as though by conquering Crowley, he'd been fucking out some issues of his own, too. That hadn't stopped Aziraphale's praise pouring into Crowley's ears. And fuck, he must have read every bloody book in that shop of his, because not only was Crowley tight and hot, but he was also transcendent and ineffable. Consummate. He didn't know what half those words meant, but he could get used to Aziraphale gasping anything in his ear in that desperate, broken voice. Crowley dug out a spare toothbrush and left it on the bedside table with a hastily scribbled note. Anathema was in the kitchen, hair secured on top of her head with a pair of hair skewers. She wore pajama bottoms and her university hoodie. Good night, she asked innocently as she sipped her coffee. You first. She and Newt come back in a choir of whispered giggles. He'd only heard one bedroom door slam. Anathema tried not to smile, but her joy was boundless. It won't change anything. It will. Crowley poured himself a coffee, but for the better. And he and Anathema would still be girls together, gossiping in the kitchen over coffee with a scent so potent it made Newt feel sick. Crowley sat down opposite her at the tiny kitchen table. So? He asked. Anathema's fingers flexed around her mark. It was so gentle and careful and just, I love him so much it aches, like right down here. One of her hands vanished beneath the table to her diaphragm. That's not love you're feeling right down there, Crowley said with a smirk, deliberately misunderstanding. Oh, I feel that too, Anathema laughed. I'm happy for you. Crowley reached over to squeeze her wrist. Sure. She moved her hand to squeeze him back. You can be scared or resentful or just a bit pissed off that you're feeling you're being left out. When had she got to know him so well? When had Crowley let her get so close? He pulled his hand away. All of that. But mostly, I'm happy for you. Thank you. And how was your footballer? Neither gentle or careful. I imagine he does need his rest then. Good morning. Aziraphale stood awkwardly in the doorway in his trousers and dress shirt. The white cotton was untucked from his waistband, and loose at the collar, displaying the shallow V of his chest, the hint of pale hair. The curls on his head were wild, fashioned by sleep and Crowley's demanding fingers. He nibbled his bottom lip nervously as his eyes fixed on Crowley. It took all Crowley's resolve not to drag him back to bed. Morning, he croaked. Who'd have thought having all your filthiest college daydreams coming true at once would feel so overwhelming? Coffee, Anathema stood up briskly.
Please.
Aziraphale tried to straighten his hair, which just made it worse, and drew attention to his biceps beneath the thin shirt. Crowley tried to hide his whine by sipping his coffee. Anathema gave him a look that left him in no doubt she'd heard and thought it hilarious. Sugar? She asked Aziraphale.
Three?
Aziraphale asked, as though it was the worst sin in the world. Take a seat. Aziraphale sat next to Crowley, his fingers linked on the pink chalk table.
Morning,
he blushed, but didn't meet Crowley's eyes. Morning. Crowley notched their knees together beneath the table and felt an answering pressure. Aziraphale smiled, thanking Anathema profusely for the coffee. Then Newt blundered in, looking half dead and complaining about the bitter sand. Crowley took Aziraphale's hand and tucked him out of the room. Newt and Anathema needed privacy too, after all. Later, when he was dressed, Crowley sat curled up in bed, drinking his second coffee and leaving the imprint of lipstick on the mug while Aziraphale finished putting his own clothes back on. The lamp was off and the curtain open, so pale, grubby light could spill through the narrow window. The strap dress, now wrinkled and hung up on the wardrobe door, still held last night's colour, though. A blush of sin, of hope, of new things.
Here,
Aziraphale handed Crowley a card. It was thick and creamy. The gold lettering had a name and address on.
My bookshop. Oh, wait, do you have a pen?
Who has a pen these days? Aziraphale, apparently. And not a crap leaking biro, either. The barrel of it shone, and the ink was smooth as it marked the card.
My number.
Aziraphale handed it over again.
I've not done this before. Been in a queer relationship, I mean. Openly.
Is that what we're doing? Crowley hadn't meant to sound so defensive. This was Aziraphale, though, who'd hidden himself so thoroughly in order to fit in. Crowley still didn't quite trust what was happening between them.
I'm sorry, I thought...
I want to, Crowley said quickly. I just need to know it's what you want. Because last night, Crowley had soared. His wings had been fully unfurled for the first time, and he wasn't getting back into the closet for anyone. No matter how perfect Aziraphale's lips were, or how adorably rosy his blush, or how wonderfully he fucked. There was no hesitation when Aziraphale said,
I want to.
Crowley's breath caught as Aziraphale climbed onto the bed and cradled his face.
I want to, Aziraphale said. Crowley, you're lovely. I don't want to hide you. I don't want to hide who I am when I'm with you.
Crowley would not cry. The feeling behind his ribs was light and fluffy as cotton candy, though. Pink as the light clinging to his dress, as pink and raw as fresh hope. Well then, Crowley swallowed, you have an arrangement, my angel. And he kissed Aziraphale's cheek, sealing the deal with Charlotte Tilbury's shade of velvet underground. It stained Aziraphale's skin for all the world to see. Crowley smiled and promised he'd tell Aziraphale before he left the flat. Maybe.
The end.